seeks another home, a brighter world on high. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from home. I'm a long time traveling here below to lay this body down. Whose tender care has long engaged my love. Your fond embrace I'm now exchanged for better friends above. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from home. I'm a long time traveling below to lay this body down. Ye fleeting charms of earth, farewell, your springs of joy. Seeks another home, a brighter world on high. I'm a long time traveling here below. I'm a long time traveling away from home. I'm a long time traveling here below to lay this body down.
Kaya Cater's Sorrowbound in 2014 and Ninepin in 2016 were both in my best of the year list in show. It looks like I need to make room in my 2018 list because Kaya Cater has created a new musical odyssey that's a journey that I cannot stop retaking. She's appearing locally on November 29th at Hawks and Reed Performing Arts Center, and I'm very happy to welcome Kaya to Nine Volt Heart.
Hey, Ed, how's it going?
It's great. I'm glad you're able to take some time before you head over to Halifax. Speaking of Halifax, is that where your new album was recorded?
So it wasn't where my album was recorded, but it is actually where my producer, Aaron Costello, is from.
Yeah.
And where the album was mixed.
Uh-huh.
So I would say I think I credit Halifax for at least 50% of that album's, creation and birth into the world.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I'm really excited to play there as well as Greenfield in the coming months.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to have you. Rolling Stone and NPR and BBC and other larger newspapers, they've listed Grenade as a bold new step and sound for you. Well, I kind of believe it's the logical next chapter in your musical introspective of your own heritage. Do you view this as a radical new Kaya Cater album or more of the same?
I think I see it the same way you do. You know, I like that idea of the fact that it's kind of the next logical step. I think, you know, maybe people have been taken a little bit aback because there are certain really notable stylistic differences on this album. You know, I play acoustic guitar for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I a full kit in a good amount of my a full drum kit in a good amount of my songs. But I think that sort of kind of bass, you know, kind of heartbeat of what is essentially me, which is songwriting. And the pursuit of the craft of songwriting, that's super present, and it's more present than ever. So I think in that way, it is kind of a logical ascendance, I would say, because every album I try and sort of push myself a little bit further and see what risks I can take, and it's all a learning experience for me, and that's the way I kind of like to go about the adventure of making music.
Yeah. Well, the first two discs are plaintive and melancholy. Those are my words and adjectives. Well, the new release is more, say, varied musically with the inclusion of the bigger band that you mentioned, but it's still thoughtfully melancholy, which goes right to my heart. And the first two albums are clearly influenced by your time spent in West Virginia. You call it your home away from home, and Elkins, West Virginia specifically. Tell me a little about how you made it to or why you went to West Virginia, and what did you find there at the school that Davis and Elkins College, I presume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was 18, living in Montreal, and a year out of high school, I was waitressing and playing as much music as I could, and I was kind of hesitating about universities. I briefly looked at Berklee College of Music and a few others. But, I didn't necessarily have the funds or really enough of a drive. So I was kind of thinking that I'd go the route of kind of being a working musician and building my way from there. And I was extremely lucky to receive this opportunity from Davis and Elkins College, which is the home of the Augusta Heritage Center, which some of your listeners might know, which is a kind of a folk art center. That explores all different types of music, from bluegrass to Cajun to the blues, to bluegrass, to old time and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so, I applied to their program, which is a summer program, and I sent in an EP that I had made. The EP is called Old Soul, which is no longer in physical print anymore. Uh-huh. It's still available. It's still available on my website. I applied and I didn't hear back, and I just kind of kept on working, and then all of a sudden I got this phone call kind of out of the blue from the director of Augusta, who pitched to me and explained to me a little bit about this new program that was happening at the college, which was to have young people who were quite proficient at their instrument come to the school, with a sizable scholarship for affordability, and to be part of their string band program, which is essentially akin to a sports team. Mm-hmm. So we would be contracted under a certain amount of shows per year, per semester, and then we would also take string band classes. And it's an incredible program. It's still going today, and I still, whenever I see young musicians who I think could benefit from that style of sort of going to a liberal arts college and also pursuing music at the same time, which was what I desperately needed at that time. Uh-huh. And it had a huge effect on my musical process, and not only stylistically, but just the way that I interact with music.
Now, is that where you met Emily Miller and Jesse Milnes?
It is, yeah. Emily Miller was came in as my string band professor, I think my second year of college there. So she was my teacher for 3 years, and she's one of my biggest heroes and musical idols. And she really, I don't want to wax on, but I just can't say enough for her.
Yeah, our listeners definitely know her from the Sweetback Sisters, which she's a big part of, and they're a Signature Sounds label, and they've been appearing here pretty regularly, so we get to see them a lot. And I agree, she's really amazing, and I love the fact that Jesse and Emily put together a Deep End Sessions album of some really deep West Virginia roots music, and we're going to play some of that as. And like I said, that album is called The Deep End Sessions. And it's just the duo, Jesse and Emily Miller. And they're going to do an Olabel Reed tune called Sorrow Undone in Sorrow. We'll be right back with more Kaya Cater after this. And we are back with Kaya Cater, who will be at the Hawks and Reed Performing Arts Center in Greenfield on the 29th, which is next Thursday. And we talk a little about her brand new album called Grenades that we'll be hearing quite a bit of at the concert and today on 9 Volt Heart. In West Virginia, say for the locals, you say that you had to do some shows. They must have appreciated, you know, their own musical traditions being, you know, embodied by young people doing, you know, these very old tunes, especially local tunes. Did that spark the idea that you wanted to do the same with, say, your own roots and your own family history? Is that what gave the album Grenades its start, or exactly what was the origin story?
I think Grenades was a bit of a sleeper for me, you know, and especially relating to my exploration of my own identity. I don't think it was as correlational as, you know, I went down to West Virginia and studied the culture, and then it wasn't kind of an epiphany moment as much as it was a slow, gradual realization. And especially, you know, when I finished that chapter in West Virginia, it truly felt like, you know, really finishing a chapter, because I, you know, physically I left and I was suddenly surrounded by music of my peers in Toronto and a lot of really modern music. And I think as an artist, artists sort of reflect the trends a lot of the time, and songwriters reflect their environment in a lot of ways. And so I started thinking again about being a Canadian and what does that mean? And you know, not only my personal environment with my friends, but also, you know, the political environment that was kind of incentivizing all of these discussions around immigration and identity, and which is not only in the U.S., but really it's a global phenomenon that's occurring right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, I was really inspired by a lot of my friends who are just writing incredible music, and I wanted to challenge myself to write all original music and to really pursue that side of myself as a songwriter, you know, which had been definitely a thing, but had kind of grown out of being a tradition interpreter or mm-hmm. a song interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of what is centered around Grenades is my own exploration of myself and trying to sort of harness or hone my skills.
Now, obviously, the content of these songs that you wrote, most of them anyway, 11 new tracks, all written by yourself, and some interludes that are really interesting, connecting with the history, essentially, of your father in Grenada. And so that is your father's background, and your mother is from Canada, I presume?
She is, yes.
Yeah.
She comes from Quebec.
And so you wrote this album between Canada and Grenada, and were there a lot of, you know, it sounds to me that when I listen to the interludes and the tracks that you wrote around them, that they're bits of conversation with your father. Was this a planned approach to a new album, or did it start in a different way?
I mean, I think like that process of, you know, migrating from certain musical styles to others, I think it was sort of a gradual decision.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that, you know, my father and I, you know, we're very close, and we've had quite a complicated relationship as father and daughter. You know, he had me when him and my mom had me when they were 22.
Yeah.
They're younger than 3 years younger than I am now. And so, you know, both of them had to grow up very fast and in different ways. And, you know, they were just so focused on raising me, and I didn't really even know about my father's story of immigration to Canada until my mother told me, and I must have been 10 or 11 at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that was sort of omnipresent in my life, but not something that I thought was that fascinating. And so, you know, getting to this age now where you're starting to kind of see your parents as complete individuals, and starting to be friends with them, you know, on a deeper level. You know, so I bought a Zoom recorder, and I was going out there for Christmas. This was Christmas of last year, and I was going out to see my dad. He lives in Vancouver, and I just kind of brought this Zoom along,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't really know what we were gonna do. I didn't really have a plan, but you know, we had a quiet night one night, and I asked him if it would be okay if he could tell me his story at some point. He said, yeah, sure, you know. And so he went down to the basement, and we kind of deadened the sound as much as possible. And I just stuck that microphone between us, and we had a really intimate conversation. And, you know, it's a three-hour-long conversation, and it's really, I think, apparent in the interludes, the intimacy of that conversation, and the fact that he's passing his story on to his only child, you know, his daughter. And I didn't really realize it at the time, I think, because I was so engrossed with our conversation. But when I listened back to it, I felt like it was such an integral part of this entire year.
Yes.
You know, it felt like it would be like not including the thesis of your essay and just sort of writing around it. I circled back to a lot of those words, and there were so many more that I could have put in, but I really just wanted to minimize the amount of talking so that the words, the economy of the words, would be that much more weighted.
They are. They're very striking and impactful as a result. There's at least three, and they all seem to be I don't know if Aaron Costello, who helped you produce it, was on board with this, but they all seem to be well-placed in between songs that tie in some of the content of the songs to the content of those interludes with your father. And I presume that you decide you had to pick and choose, but it was very well done. And I found that they really enhanced my understanding of the songs once I, found a little background information. And here's one of those interludes right now. This one is called Power.
The People's Revolutionary Army is now in charge, and they're asking everybody to flood the police stations to give aid to the new government. And I remember her saying to people as she was on the back of a truck going down to St. George's to join the call for people to protect the fragility of the revolution. I remember raising a fist and saying, "Power! Power! Power!" And I remember everybody, all of the people who supported Gary, was looking at my grandmother on the back of a truck in the village going down to St. George's, and they were crying, and I remember that distinctly.
Comment joue le violon?
La misère.
Avec la voix émue.
La misère.
And I know you.
La misère.
And I know you know me.
La misère.
Je dis pour moi, ça y est.
Oh, comme elle est grave, la misère.
Je dis pour moi, ça y est.
Oh, comme elle est grave, la misère.
Avec le pied cassé.
La misère.
Avec la main levée.
La misère.
And I know you.
La misère.
And I know you know me.
La misère.
Je dis pour moi, ça y est.
Oh, comme elle est grave, la misère.
Je dis pour moi, ça y est.
Oh, comme elle est grave, la misère.
Comment joue le violon?
La misère.
Avec la voix émue.
La misère.
And I know you.
La misère.
And I know you know me.
La misère.
Je dis pour moi, ça y est.
Oh, comme elle est grave, la misère.
Je dis pour moi, ça y est.
Oh, comme elle est grave, la misère.
Je dis pour moi, ça y est.
Oh, comme elle est grave, la misère.
Je dis pour moi, ça y est.
Oh, comme elle est grave, la misère.
That is Kaya Cater from her brand new album, Grenades, and she will be appearing at Hawks and Reed in Greenfield on the 29th, next Thursday. Now back to our interview with Kaya. We talk a little about the island of Grenada that her father was from in her visit there. People in America who are geographically, essentially clueless, tell us about Grenada. Had you you hadn't really grown up there, but you did go back after this project to Grenada for the first time since you were a child. Tell us a little about the geography and where it is, and a little about your father's experience.
Grenada is on the northeast. It's a small island in the Caribbean, first of all, and it's all the way at the kind of the southern tail of that string of islands in the Caribbean. It's right below Barbados,
mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to place it, it's off the east northeast coast of Venezuela.
Right.
I would say if the way you can place it. It's tiny. It's a tiny, tiny island. And it was, in 1979, it was the smallest sovereign nation in the West. It became that way because, a revolutionary named Morris Bishop, who was a young barrister, who had trained in England, him along with the New Jewel Movement, which was his political party, they were, I would call them democratic socialists or even just plain socialists.
Yep.
And they determined that this small island was being run by essentially a dictator who wasn't providing enough for his people, and who was letting people starve and all this stuff. And that dictator's name was Eric Gehry. And there's a whole bunch you could read on him. But the New Jewel Movement overtook the island and overthrew Eric Gehry peacefully. Mm-hmm. So nobody was killed, and they took to the radio stations and announced that there would be a new movement, for the people, by the people, and so it was. He was an extremely popular prime minister.
Yep.
He nationalized the economy in a huge way, but he served as a threat to the status quo, and especially to larger Western nations like the U.S.
Yes, Ronald Reagan. This was his Falkland Islands. The Great Britain invaded the Falklands around the same time. This was his invasion. I presume he was worried that the Cubans and the Russians would have an airstrip, and they were all worried about the Central American communists. But so that's Grenada, and they had Operation Urgent Fury, which was Ronald Reagan's massive invasion of the tiniest island in the area. So of course that was condemned by the UN General Assembly and the Security Council, etc. And that's the time frame in which your father speaks to you and tells you about his history. And was that all new information to you as a young woman?
I think I'd gotten it in pieces when I poked and prodded him. But my father's like quite quiet. He's very quiet, and he tends to have a very forward-looking mentality. You know, I think I come to him and very exasperated and with the scheme of things, but he has quite a holistic approach to politics, and he kind of, he says that everything is a repetition of something else, and actually enforces the fact, it solidifies the fact in my brain that I'm really lucky to be Canadian, that when I get down on my country.
Yes.
And so we do have these philosophical differences, and I've asked him once or twice, but I think it's really hard to get someone to go into that space, that emotional space of what it was like to have a dream dash and all of the things that he had to do to have a life and create a life for himself and for me.
Yeah, so he ended up going to Canada. Yeah, yeah. And he's lived in Canada ever since, I presume.
Yes. He got his master's degree in 2015.
Sweet. So when you documented your father's struggle, did it help you to relate some of your own identity issues? You said, you're a Grenadian Canadian. There's this hyphen issue there. Did it help you find some strength in the hyphen, so to speak, or any of the other issues that a young woman your age did it muddy the waters, or did it help at all?
It did help. I think I found there's strength in knowledge, and there's strength in knowing your history. And I think that's the anchoring point for me. I think of just being confident and being able to trace your lineage, not only your true blood lineage, but also what your story means in context of those of your parents. And so I have found a lot of kind of this deepening of my roots. And being comfortable with being, having hyphenated identity in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yep. Now, some of the songs on the new lovely Grenades, they're the melodies are so lovely, but some of the language and some of the imagery is very harsh and foreboding, like on the title cut, Grenades. It's a great metaphor for me to think about the natural beauty of this island nation confronted with U.S. helicopter gunships, and but you put it in a lovely melody, so it's not really apparent what you're talking about unless you really listen to the language.
I think I maybe wanted to make it that way. I don't know if it was a conscious decision, but I can't seem to write songs about everything being all good. So I think writing Grenades, the gentle melody, I think, was maybe to symbolize innocence or childhood or maybe something like that. But, my dad was very young at the time of the invasion, and kind of seeing that through the eyes of a child.
Mm-hmm.
But also kind of revealing the darkness there and the complete despair that a lot of folks had after that, because, there's something so gutting, I would say, about having hope destroyed.
And we're going to listen now to her father, Dino Hurst, and the song that we just spoke about called Grenades.
And to describe the invasion defies words. To understand the ferocity of the American military is beyond expectation. When the American military come, they come with the might of, it's indescribable. So on the morning of the 25th, there were fighter jets, there were helicopters, there were soldiers, there were helicopter gunships, there were bombs, it's like nothing you've ever experienced. The sheer terror that you think you're going to die.
It was the death of my dream.
Safe wave now, taste the metal on your tongue. March the dogs of war into the sun.
That is Kaya Cater with the title cut of her latest album, Grenades, which she will be premiering in the area only here at Greenfield's Hawks and Reed Performance Arts Center, and that is Thursday the 29th. Get your tickets. And we're going to just finish up our interview. We have another minute or two with Kaya before she gets on a flight. We hear a little bit of airport background noise. She's heading to Halifax for a show, but we're going to finish up that. She's going to introduce a tune or two for us. Cater, she will be at the Hawks and Reed Performance Arts on the 29th, which is Thursday night, and my friend Lily Sexton will be the opening band. We're happy to have the opportunity to chat with her. She's in an airport heading to another show. I just wanted to ask you, you know, what was it like having David Byrne compile a list of songs, The Power of Songs to Give Voices Eternal is the name of the list, and protest songs from many generations, and it includes a cut by Kaya Cater?
I don't know. I was kind of blown away, and I woke up to a few texts about it. And I love David Byrne, and Stop Making Sense, not only the album, but the documentary.
Sure.
It had a huge impact on my development as a musician, and the way that David Byrne takes risks and is silly and is brilliant and so effective in his music making it's just everything that I want to be as an artist. So it's nice to have that recognition.
Excellent.
You know?
Yeah. Now, we're going to finish up here, and I just wanted to have you maybe pick a particular tune from the new disc and give us a little context, maybe a little history of how it, you know, how much biography is in it or not, and just send us out with a new tune from Grenades of your choice.
Sure. I would pick Meridian Ground.
Beautiful.
That is a song that I wrote while in Grenada. It's all about, I think it's semi-autobiographical. It's about my family. And the chorus on Meridian Ground, the half-breeds and the kids in bloom, is about me, sort of, you know, a biracial person playing with my cousins in Grenada. And so that can maybe give your listeners a little bit of a clue.
Excellent. Well, thanks for spending some time with us today on 9 Volt Heart. We look forward to seeing you a week from Thursday on the 29th. Actually, it's this coming Thursday. So we'll see you just down the road. Enjoy your trip to Halifax and be safe. We'll see
you. Thank you so much, Ed.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
No problem. Enjoy.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
By her bed frame, she surges higher, the hills and the gullies fall. We swim out under the ships and flirt with pain like a mistress, like the hemlock blade that bathes in the boiling sea.